a clip from a story about unrest in an area of Western Europe. Two young women were really very great friends who shared all confidences and kept no secrets from each other. One day when they met, one woman told the other that she had been caught up in a horrendous crime, which she now regretted. "Don't worry," the friend said. "My lips are sealed. I shall never tell on you." But a few days later, she saw notices all over the town requesting any information that anyone could give regarding this crime. And there was a substantial reward for anyone who could give any evidence. She thought carefully about this. She had promised her friend to keep quiet, and yet this money would mean such a lot to her. She could do so many things with it. From turning the problem over and over in her mind, thinking about it very, very carefully, she rang the number on the notice board. If you listen to or watch radio or television plays about Jesus and his disciples, you'll notice that Judas Iscariot comes over as a well-spoken, well-educated, and responsible young man. This must have come across to Jesus and his other disciples because they chose Judas to look after the money purse, which he seemed to do very well, until he had a sudden urge for money and decided to betray Jesus, for which he was given 30 pieces of silver. In some of the magazines that I read, there are pieces written by people who have won certain high amounts in the lottery, even over £1 million, perhaps. Some are excited about this, others are embarrassed and want to pass the money on as quickly as possible. Whenever I hang around the customer services desk at Tesco's, several people are buying lottery tickets in the hope, I suppose, of winning something which will boost their savings and their morale. A telephone engineer came yesterday to fix my phone. He said that a team of them had come up to London from Devon to help with the work here because everyone here in the engineering department was so busy. Sam remarked that the money was extremely good and he would be able to buy better presents for his children. He wasn't greedy, he just wanted to do his best for his family, and I felt very pleased for him. And it was a lovely reason for wanting a bit extra and being away from the children for a bit. They would appreciate a present when he got home. Let's look back to Amos' time. A Bible scholar pointed out that the Bible contained three incidents of Jesus weeping, but none of Jesus laughing. He could have laughed with his friends, but those occasions were not recorded by the gospel writers. If we go back to the mid-8th century BC, to the time when Amos was prophesying, Israel's rich people ate sumptuous food every day, and there was plenty of partying, plenty of laughter. But Amos is attacking those who live in luxury, enjoying Israel's prosperity. But here, Amos's focus is on their misplaced sense of security. Their confidence depends on their misplaced material wealth, and they are quite unconcerned about the doom which Amos foresees hanging over the northern kingdom. It's represented in the International Bible version anyway as Joseph. We know that Assyrians destroyed Israel about 30 years later, but there is little information about how the exile took place. But it is often the case that societies rich will go first to face exile, as Amos prophesies in chapter 6. The wider context of Amos's prophecy says that we put our trust in God alone. And we demonstrate that by acting with justice, which makes our worship of God acceptable to Him. Someone wrote that dependence on material wealth leads to miserly exploitation of poor people. Trust in God enables us to love good and establish justice. And Jesus said, anyone who wants to be my disciple must take up his cross daily and follow him. Sometime during my early life, a song was often broadcast called Money is the Root of All Evil. Take it away, take it away, take it away, the verse ends. Paul wrote to Timothy that money in itself is not the root of all evil, but it is the love of money which is the root of all evil and is very, very dangerous. Jesus' parable about the deaths of Dives and Lazarus draws on a folk tale that was well known across the Near East, which contrasts the fate of a rich man and a poor man after their deaths. The two main characters are general types of people rather than individuals. The name Dives is the Latin word for rich, and the poor man's name, Lazarus, is the Greek version of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, and this may be intended to suggest a faithful Israelite. The description of their lifestyle exaggerates the difference between the two. The rich man was dressed in most expensive purple, while the poor man was so weak he could not even chase the dogs away. After death, the situation is reversed, using ideas about life after death that had become influential in Judaism since the end of the Old Testament period. The fate of the two men depends not so much on judgment as on rebalancing the situation so that everyone has some experience of wealth and luxury, and some of poverty and suffering. The rich man is quick to see the consequences of this. And those who, like himself, unthinkingly have enjoyed their riches, to abundance. Amos goes on to tell the people that they must trust in God and in God alone. We read in Timothy that it isn't money which is evil, but the love of money can be very dangerous indeed. But Jesus said, those who want to be my disciples must take up their cross and follow me. We read in Luke's Gospel that the Dives and Lazarus represented groups of people rather than individuals. One group was poor and the other were the rich. And after death, things changed around so that the poor experienced comfort and the rich experienced fire. For us today, there is much that we can think about as we use our money. We give to many causes. There is a radio appeal every week, and we choose what we give to. but all that we do with our money, to do it in the sight of God and prayerfully, is good thing, a good thing. I think I'll leave it there because I seem to have lost some of my sermon this morning. So I'll leave it there and we can think ourselves of the best way to use the resources that we have. Amen.